It's always necessary that we have one another. I believe Larry said that this morning. Somebody said that. We need one another more than ever. We need one another. We need to lift each other up in prayer. I remember a man called me. He'd been crushed by a car. And he was laying in bed believing God to heal him. And his wife held the phone so he could talk. And he said, John, you got to have faith for me. Because I hurt so bad, I don't have faith for myself. That happened on a Saturday, and on the next day he was off church. The following day he was preaching. Busted his shoulder. He literally had to bring his shoulder up like that. Busted his ribs. And his wife on Saturday looked, and he called her, and she looked, and you could see the bones popping back into place through his T-shirt. So our God is real. Our God will not only will do miraculous things, but He is doing miraculous things. Yeah. Isaiah said, by His stripes we are healed. 700 and some years before Jesus came, Peter said, by His stripes we were healed. Past tense. And I want to get the right Bible up here, so I want to go to Exodus, chapter 12. We went there the last time, but I'm going to read the first 13 verses, and I'm going to try. I'll give you a promise. I will try to read it all without stopping. Without injecting anything. I will try. That covers me, you know, so I'm not lying if I do stop. Exodus chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb . It's hard to keep promises. Let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the persons. According to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day. They took it on the 10th day, they kept it till the 14th day of the same month, that the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire, with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat it raw, nor boiled at all with water, but roasted in fire, its head with its legs and its entrails. You shall let none of it remain unto morning, And what remains of it until morning you shall burn with fire. And thus you shall eat it with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. You shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Wow. That's pretty good. I did it. There's a few things that we need to note. Why would God tell us not to leave anything, but if we left anything, burn it in the morning? Because once that calf or lamb or whatever they had was roasted and burnt, ready to eat, and you know how it is, you leave it out, it'll spoil. It'll see corruption. And see, there could be no corruption in that unblemished lamb. That's why in Psalms, he said, as a matter of fact, I think in Acts chapter 2 and verse 27, for you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. That was taken out of Psalms. It's in Acts, but it was taken out of Psalms. So that's why that meat had to be burnt. Anything that was left over had to be burnt, because that lamb could not see corruption. And there was another point. Oh, the unleavened bread. Couldn't have any leaven in the house. Later on in that chapter, they tell us that, let me say this. Later on in that chapter, God tells us that they were not to have any unleavened bread, any leaven at all in the house. What does leaven do? Leaven is like a yeast. Just what it is. It's a yeast. You put it in the bread and the bread rises. But when the bread rises, it becomes soft. It becomes full of a lot of air. Too many of us have too much leaven. We have nothing but a bunch of hot air. The leaven had to be gone for 7 days. And I like that 7 days. It's the number of completion or the number of perfection. But it was out of the house. Now this was a new beginnings for the Israelites. They were about to leave Egypt and go to that new land that God had promised them. God's promised us a new land. Well, I've heard that for 2,000 years. No, you haven't. You've only been around for a few years. Nevertheless, it has been said for 2,000 years, and I agree, it has. But it's just like in the days of Jesus. Do you realize that Jesus was preached about by God before Abel or Cain, either one, were born? When God spoke of that servant, spoke to that servant, he said, the woman's seed shall bruise your head and you will bruise his heel. And guess who that seed was? There's only one that can really bruise Satan's head. And there's so many stories in this. There's so many symbols or symbolic things in just these few verses concerning the Christ, concerning what's going to take place. We see David down the line. And little David comes up and he's taking on a giant. You shall bruise his head, see? David knocked that giant out. David did not kill that giant with the stone. But when that giant hit the ground, David walked up and with his own sword cut his head off. I think that pretty much is what killed him. But you see, it was a bruise to the head. And one of the reasons that the Israelites were getting the heels bruised is because they were running. Always running. Can we hear this morning that we're entering a new time, a new age? We've heard for so many years, and it has been 2,000. Man has heard it for 2,000 years. Jesus is coming. And they said the same thing when Jesus showed up. They didn't believe the Messiah was really coming. Because the Messiah didn't come like they thought he should, or like they thought he would. But he came as a man. Not on a big horse, not on a shining or with shining armor, or on a big white horse. But he just came as a man. Somehow I want to instill to you today that he is that sacrifice. And you know this. I'm not going to tell you anything you don't already know. I'm just hoping to bring it out in a different light. And maybe doing that will cause an understanding in our minds as to what God is doing. See, in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. And how many times did we hear about new beginnings? Janet did not know what I was going to minister on today. I did tell her what was going to take on later, some of it. But I never mentioned the message. But Jesus was that sacrifice. And now there's a time when we eat the sacrifice. We talked about it. We ate it all. That sacrifice, the blood was applied. Has the blood been applied to you today? If that blood wasn't applied to the doorpost and the lintel, then the death angel was allowed to come in and kill the firstborn. You know, Jesus was the firstborn. Jesus took the place of that sacrifice, because no matter how good or how pure the lamb was, or the bullock, or the goat, whatever it might have been, the pigeons or turtle doves, it was not good enough. So God sent His Son without sin, and He gave Himself a sacrifice. That is why you and I, according to Romans 12, 1, we need to become a living sacrifice. And what I really want to deal this morning is, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God? I want the perfect will of God. We are to become living sacrifices. Jesus became that sacrifice for death. Now He wants you and I to live. It was considered on a man once to die. But Jesus came and He died for you and I. Why should you and I want to die? But Satan comes and he said, listen, did the Lord really say that you wouldn't die? See, it has fooled for 2,000 years. Read the scriptures, read the New Testament, and you'll see these men talk like Jesus had come at any time. That was 2,000 years ago. But people weren't ready to accept that. And they're not ready to accept it today. And I'm hoping that somehow I can stir you to begin to believe that now is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians 6, 2. Now is the appointed time. Everybody says, well, it's all in God's timing. You know what? Now is the accepted time. Now. It's now. And it always has been now. God never meant for anything to be in the future. He created Adam and Eve perfect. It was not his desire for anything else. Oh, there's so much. There's so much. Because I know that Jesus was crucified before the foundations of the earth. I can't comprehend that up here. I just know it here in the heart. Isaiah prophesied it 750 years. We are healed. 750 years before Jesus came. But he became that perfect sacrifice. I believe that he laid in the grave for the 3 days, or the 3 days and nights, and then he arose. The sign of that was Daniel in the whale. I heard a preacher here not too long ago. I was really thrilled with what I heard. So I bought some of his tapes to hear more. Actually, there was seven CDs on that set that I bought. And the very first one, he made mention that Jonah in the belly of the whale wasn't really true. It was just symbolic. I say, what? Even after he come out, God created, what was that thing he created? It was some kind of plant that made shade for him. Because he was all white from all that the acid had done in the whale's stomach. You know, it's kind of gross, but you understand what I'm saying. And now, you said it. We've got preachers out there saying it's not really real. They have taken, and I think I may have said it here the last time, in the military, the chaplains. These are the men who are preaching Jesus. Can't use the name Jesus in their sermons. That's our government. That's our government. That's our nation. I saw a sign on the back of a car. It said, God bless America. Bless was crossed out, and I believe it said, God forgive America. And really, we need that. I heard the other night, now I haven't heard this on the news, and it's probably something new, because it comes out slowly. They don't just all of a sudden say it. But now they're saying that if you're caught, or the time will come when if you're caught with a Bible, you can actually be arrested for hate crimes. Because you believe in the Bible, and in the Bible, God killed many people. He destroyed them. Just because a guy stole a sliver of silver and a couple of really nice gowns, and he destroyed that man and his family. Those are hate crimes, see? And they're still fighting over what to do with some of these guys that destroyed the Twin Towers. Can you imagine? Is that a hate crime or what? But what I'm trying to get across this morning is that those men sacrificed that lamb, put the blood on the doorpost and the lintel, and they prepared a meal, their last meal before they walked out of Egypt. And it says that they had a belt around them. And that's because of the gowns. They somehow tucked them up and tied a belt around them and held them so they could move faster. They went with their staff in their hand. They ate with their staff in their hand. They're ready to go. And there was a third one. They ate with the staff in their hand. Somebody said it? What was it? Shoes on their feet. Ready to go. Listen, we got so many laid-back Christians. If Jesus came today, they wouldn't be ready to go. Are you and I ready? Now, we're not talking in a physical sense here. the ten virgins, they're all ready to go out and meet the king. All of a sudden, here comes the cry, the king is coming, the king is coming, let's go meet him. Well, brother, sister, we're a little short on the oil here. Can we borrow some? No, you can't borrow any of mine because I won't have enough. So they're out trying to get it. When they come back, the king has come. Are we going to come back and find out with the oil and find out he's already come in? And we missed out. Are you ready? Oh, it only takes a second just asking God to forgive me. Oh. With an attitude like that, I really need to pray for you. I don't believe you really have that attitude. But a lot of Christians do. A lot of Christians say, you know, when I get ready to die, then I'll ask the Lord's forgiveness. Now, how do you know? My Uncle Walt, and I may have shared this with you too, opened the door up, said goodbye, or no, he said goodbye to some guys. They just come from a Tigers baseball game. He opened the door, and he was dead before he hit the floor. I don't think he had enough time to repent. How many believes that Jesus is coming back soon? Not very many of us. Oh, here we go. There's some hands up. The Bible says it. Paul preached it. And I think, you know, how soon is soon when you've already passed 2,000 years? But, you know, with God, 2,000 years is a day. No, it's only been a couple days since he was crucified. In God's timing. As a matter of fact, there is no time in God's timing. So when will all this take place? Nobody really knows. Jesus said it's not for you to know. No man knoweth the day nor the time, the day nor the hour. But I look at Abraham, and God said, will I destroy Sodom and Gomorrah and not tell my friend Abraham? Now, God, I don't believe, and I went over it the other day again, and I do not believe God told him when he was going to do it. He just said, Abraham, this is what I'm going to do. You go in there and save as many souls as you can and get them out of those cities because I'm fixing to bring those cities down. We may not like it, but God's fixing to bring this nation down. And probably some others with it. I want you to be ready. Thank you. I want you to be ready. I want you to get all the living out of your house. Where is the house of God? Let's get all the living out. That is, and first of all, I want you to know you can. Get it all out. I just had a person tell me the other day, well, you can't go the whole day without sinning. Why not? And that same person, one of their favorite scriptures is, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me, but I can't go without sinning. Why not? If Christ is there to strengthen us, why can't we? Mostly because we don't want to, so we use that as an excuse to say, oh, I can't. Therefore, because I can't, I'm going to go ahead and have this fun or do this or do that or do the other thing. I'll warn you right now, if you do that, if you think that, you're going to miss out. You won't know him when he comes. Philippians 4:19. And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. My God shall supply all your needs. Is God a liar? Then we have everything supplied that we need. And I thank God for things like this. They make it really easy and a lot less time. I've got 141 books. I can just use this thing and click and open up another book. It really makes it easy. Really saves a lot of time. And I can just scan over it and copy it and put it on a piece of paper and hit a button, and the paper will print out what I've put on it. You can see the green there. I can highlight special ones so I can remember them better. Or I can see them quicker. I love it. God has given us everything we need. Don't tell me, God didn't give me the Greek. You know what? This Strong's Concordance is in here, and all I got to do is push a button, and all the words in the Bible will come up with the Strong's word behind it. I click on that strong word. It tells me exactly what that Greek word means, tells me how many times it's found, and it tells me how many times each English word is used for that Greek word. Because when it was translated, everything wasn't completely right. God has given us everything we need. You know what? He's not leaving any excuses. And this new program I've got, all I've got to do is click on the word, and it'll right click. It'll say, "Hear this word spoken." You click the left click, and it'll tell you the word, Greek or English. Now, whether they're right the way they pronounce it, I don't know, but it'll be close. You understand? I'm just trying to tell you this morning that God has given us everything we need. God shall supply all our needs. There's another one. 2 Peter 1, 3. 2 Peter 1, 3. As His divine power, and the King James, let's read it from the King James. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. One of the big words that escapes people's when they're reading the Word of God, it's through the knowledge of Him. It's one thing to believe, it's one thing to know, a different thing to know. I've said this before because for years I asked the Lord about it. Said in Matthew 7:21, they'll come to me in that day and say, "Lord, Lord, haven't we cast out demons in Your name, healed the sick, healed the blind, etc., etc.? Haven't we done all these mighty works in Your name?" He said, "Go, I never knew you." I said, "Lord, how can they do all this healing? Because we know that God does the healing." Well, they believed in the name of Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? But you know what? They didn't know Him. They didn't know the one they believed in. Didn't really know Him. That's why Jesus said, "Except you eat of My flesh and drink of My blood." And that's what this sacrifice is telling us. Eat it all. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. Eat of My flesh. Drink of My blood. Or when Jesus rose from the dead, He said, "Look, I'm flesh and bone as you are." Well, what kept Him alive? Because the life is in the blood. But Jesus shed all His blood for you and I. So He didn't have life in the blood. He had life in the Spirit. If that same Spirit, Romans 8, if that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, He will make alive the mortal body. He's given us everything we need pertaining to life and godliness. Pertaining to life. Now, I love what Brother Larry said. There's some things we've got to do. Let me see. We've got to take it. We've got to take our place as sons of God. We know that in John chapter 1, they that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Well, if you are being led by somebody, what do you have to do to be led by somebody? Follow. This is a good group here. Follow. You have to do something. You have to follow. You know, just even for salvation, you have to accept. You have to believe. I preached last Sunday on believe Do you remember how that title went? Believe before. Before you can be saved, you've got to believe that Jesus saves. Before you can be healed, you've got to believe that Jesus heals. Oh, but you know what? He might have a reason for me going through this. If that's the case, find out that reason. Get that reason taken care of so he can heal you. You know, when he went to his own hometown, he could not do very many miracles, only save a few, heal a few sick folk because of their doubt and their unbelief. See, doubt and unbelief is leaven in us. And boy, Satan will use that little bit of leaven, and we think, well, you know, it's just so small, but the leaven causes you to rise. And that doubt in you, it gets bigger and bigger as Satan, can I say, kneads it and presses that yeast down in there, you that know how to make bread. You got to get all those air bubbles, as many as you can, out. Otherwise, you can have holes this big in your loaf of bread. Really looks good on the outside, but it's full of hot air when it comes out of the oven. But if you knead it real good, it's not full of hot air. But if you don't put any leaven or yeast in it at all, it's a real flat loaf, but it's solid. It'll taste the same, just be harder to eat. You understand what I'm saying? We need to get rid of, and God has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. God has given us the Word so that we, through the Word, might put away all those things that are not of God. Now, problem with a lot of Christians is they decide what's right for me and what's right for you. And most of the time, it's what they feel is right for themselves. But what are you going to do when God tells you to stop something you've been doing all your life and everybody else is doing? And what's wrong with it? Maybe nothing's wrong with it. But if he tells you not to do it, it's time to quit doing it. Otherwise, you're sinning. Because he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him, it is sin. Not to everybody else. Paul said, I can eat anything. But a lot of people were under conviction for eating meat offered to idols. Paul said, I can eat anything. Now, Paul had instructions from the Lord. If it offended anybody, he wasn't to do it. So he said, but if it offends anybody, I'll never eat meat again. Sometimes God will ask his sons to do things he isn't asking the nominal Christian to do. I quoted that verse out of Romans 8:22. Was it 22? No. For all creation, close enough, it was in the 20s. All creation groaneth for the manifestation of the sons of God. People in the front row, we don't believe that. Say, whoa, 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 what you talking about? Well, that's nothing but a cult, the sons of God. I said, listen, I was reading Scripture. I was quoting Scripture. I said nothing about me being a son, although I believe it. But that's just a cult. No, that's the Word of God. People have misused it, that's all. People have misused it. You know, And that's what they did in Paul's day also, when people begin to realize that, we don't need to be circumcised in the flesh anymore. Some said, yes, you do. Some said, no, you don't. Well, in the flesh, what's the difference? You can't eat food without washing your hands first. And Jesus, you and your disciples are doing just that. And we won't go into it, but what did Jesus tell them? Whatever you put in the mouth comes right out the other end. What's that going to do? What's that going to hurt? Now, don't get me wrong. Continue to teach your children to wash their hands before they eat. It's good. But if you're out in the field and you're hungry and there's a beautiful apple tree and there's no water around, I'm going to grab me an apple and I'm going to eat. I don't care how dirty the hands are. I have eaten an apple with on the job, working in the grease and the oil, because I happened to be hungry, and I didn't have time to take my break, so I just The union won't like that either. I ate on the job. And I didn't tell my wife that very often. I'm just letting you know. I'm just letting you know. That didn't unsave me or save me. But there are things we have to do. We have to believe before we can receive. So what is it that you believe in this word? Whatever it is, you're going to have to receive it sooner or later. And let's hope it's sooner. Because the whole earth is groaning for you and I to grow up and become a son of God. And a son of God is one who is like Jesus. Because you see, I believe the sons of God are the body of Christ. Now, Christ is the anointed one. Jesus is the head of the body. And I got news for you. You may not like it, but you and I are the feet. Because when that baby's coming, the last thing out, if the baby's right, and I believe God knows what he's doing, the last thing out is the feet. Right, mothers? What a relief it is to have those feet out. But you understand what I'm saying. He said to Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Not upon Peter. Peter would be called a rock, yes. But Jesus is the rock of our salvation. And it's that rock that he's building the church on. And what a wonderful thing that he's allowed you and I to be a part of that. You know, that doesn't make me any better than anybody else. It really doesn't. It's by the grace of God. Larry said about somebody, it's by the grace of God. But there go I heard that about a judge who said it to a young 16-year-old. It's only by the grace of God, but go there I. Now the judge probably wouldn't be able to say that, or he loses judgmentship. But you know what I'm saying. What is there in your life? What is there in my life that God's asking us to get rid of? That's the leaven. That's the leaven. That's why things that God has asked me to get rid of, I don't touch. I try never to view it. And sometimes you know how these computers are. You click on something and you got some kind of movie coming up or showing up. You don't need to watch it. You don't need to watch it. There's enough other movies that are good movies you can watch. It's just things like that. Like I told you before, God told me to get rid of the 50s and 60s music. What's wrong with that? Nothing. Until God tells you to get rid of it. And then it's wrong. It took me 2 years. Well, Brother John, why did it take you so long to get rid of it? Some things aren't hard to get rid of. Or aren't easy to get rid of. And I just happen to like the music. I grew up, that was my teenage years. But I'm rid of it. And now, if I hear it on a station, it used to be, I got rid of it. But if I happen to hear one, well, it must be okay because I was just going through the stations and there it was. So I'd finish it out and then I'd go, you know, turn another station. Now, if I hear it, I just keep right on turning. Because there's something in that music that wells up in me, and I won't tell you what it does. I'm not really sure what it does. I just know it does. And I don't want that anymore. I want to get rid of that stuff. Get rid of that way of thinking. Get rid of that way of doing things. That God might have preeminence in my life. So that when man looks at me, they see Jesus. We want them to see Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And you know what? That's why they want Jesus taken out of everything. The same as they did back in Paul's day. You guys go out there and you can teach about God, but don't you teach in that name of Jesus. Because they didn't believe that this man Jesus was the Christ. And so they don't want us to do it today. That's why in the military, I told you, and of course this is just what I've heard on the news, I really like to be able to talk to a military chaplain. But they say you can't use the name of Jesus in your sermons anymore. It's all about Jesus. How are you going to teach the New Testament without Jesus? How are you going to talk about salvation without telling them about Jesus? And yet, this is what they're doing. And boy, if they get us for hate crimes because we're carrying the Bible, that will really be something. We need to get rid of everything that is not of God. I can't say it enough. I can't say it enough. Let's look at what this word yeast is. And I've got beside it seed of dough. What happens when you put the seed in the ground? It grows. Depending on what it is, it can grow to be a big tree. This is the ground. Jesus told the parable of the sower, and he threw it in the good ground, and the good ground gave forth some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. It was good ground. But if you put a little bit of seed or yeast in this good ground, it can grow and overwhelm and cause me to fall. Now, I thank God for the Spirit of God in me that'll teach me and show me when something's going on inside that shouldn't be and let me know to get rid of it. And then through Jesus Christ, He's even given us the tools to get rid of it. Through Jesus Christ, we get rid of it. We say no. We say, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou desirest not the things of God. But it's barm, and I don't know what that is. That's foam or froth or flour of beer. And what happens if you drink too much beer? You don't fear if you drink too much beer. And that can really cause havoc. That's why people drive. They have no common sense when they've had too much beer. And we won't even mention what liquor or alcohol or the strong drinks. And he said to the woman, oh, wait a minute, I'm in the wrong spot here. It's the foam or froth or flour of beer or other liquor in fermentation. In other words, it's getting rotten. It's starting to show corruption. Seems like the older I get, the more corruption I show. Wrinkles form. Muscles sag. Really, it's more fat than muscle. But you understand what I'm saying? But listen, I'm going to tell you something. And I don't know about how that camera works. Will it catch me down here? Will it make any difference to anybody? I have a promise from God. Bless the Lord. This is when I was getting ready to die. The Lord gave me this word. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgivest all thine iniquities and healest all thy diseases. You know what? What difference does it make whether it's forgiving somebody or healing somebody? Remember, that's what they said to Jesus. Well, what is it easier to say? Thy iniquities are forgiven, or be thou healed. It all comes together. It's all part of our salvation. It's all part of our deliverance. Healing is for the children of God. Oh, but Lord, even the dogs get the crumbs from the master's table. No greater faith even in all of Israel have I seen. Be it unto you according to your faith. So Jesus was dishing out stuff that didn't even belong to the children. And you know what? He's still doing it today. If a man will believe, if a woman will believe, He'll heal them even though they haven't been brought into Christ. If they believe. And there's some leaven I have to get out of me, because that would be hard for me. Someone that's treated me rotten. It's becoming a lot easier. You know, I amaze myself sometimes when I think about it. It really becomes a lot easier. Now, the hard part is, Larry, when they touch my wife are my girls. My son can fend for himself. Well, you touch my girls and well, something rises at 11, it begins to really well up. Don't mess with my girls, my daughters, or my wife. But I'm learning. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. And some of these people have done some wrong to some of these, you know, killed their folk, and they said, well, we're just letting God deal with it. And I said, oh, you're a better Christian than I am sometimes. Because I'd tell the Lord, you can deal with it, Lord. This is how I want you to deal with it. And, you know, knock him down and kick him a couple of times before you get rid of him. Make him suffer. I mean, that's the human nature in me. But God's changing that nature. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. How are you going to be transformed by the renewing of your mind? By reading the Word, eating of His flesh, eating His Word, drinking of the Spirit of God, until, you know what? I don't know how that can ever be, but until I get to the place where people can do what they want to me or to my family, and I say, Lord, they're more yours than mine. After all, He did create them. He created your sons and your daughters. So they're more His than they are mine. So I guess I'm going to really have to learn to let go of everything. But don't try me. Don't mess with my wife or my daughters. But we have to get rid of everything that's in us that God disapproves of. And you'll get out of the house and then eat all of the Word. Drink all of His Spirit. And know His Word. Don't just believe His Word. Know His Word. Because you know His Word, then you begin to know Him. And what will happen? Listen. Satan said to the seven sons of Sceva, Jesus I know, Genosko, I'm thoroughly convinced. I know Him, and I can't think of the word. But he knows Jesus really good. And he said, Paul, I'm beginning to know. I'm beginning to watch out for this guy because he's got so much of Christ in him, he's beginning to worry me. But who are you guys? And he commenced to jump on him. The demon threw the man, jumped on those seven men and beat them up. Who are you? But I'll tell you, the more you eat of the Word of God, the more you drink of His Spirit, the more Satan backs up. David come to Goliath. He said, you come to me with a spear and a sword, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. I'm telling you, the giant told that little boy, and I say little boy because he was so much smaller than the Goliath, and I don't know how old David was. I've heard a lot of different ages. But he said, I come in the name of the Lord. He said, listen, I'm going to crush you and feed you to the dogs. He said, oh yeah? I'll tell you what, I'm going to crush you, I'm going to cut your head off, then I'm going to feed you to the dogs. And David did it. He did it in the name of the Lord. Who is Satan that he would defy the armies of the living God? Who is Satan that he would defy the sons of God? Satan has already been bound and thrown down. The only thing he can do to you and I is through right here. And if we'll believe him, he'll destroy us. But if we won't believe him, and we'll believe the Christ will cause us to live. You can't have them both. You can't have the ways of Satan. You can't think on the things of Satan and the things of God and live. You might escape death because of the Lord Jesus Christ saving you, but I don't want to just escape death. I want to rule and crush his under my heel, under my feet. Is he under our feet yet? Boy, you know, it's like a big balloon. You stomp on it, and all of a sudden, this part jumps out, you know. Some of them won't break right away. You understand what I'm saying? And that's how it is. But one day, we're going to step on that thing, and he's all the hot air in him is going to blow out. He's we're going to really realize what Satan really is, and that is nothing. I don't know if that's proper language, but he's nothing. Nothing. To those that will believe in the Lord Jesus and will believe in what the Lord Jesus has done. 1 Corinthians tells us a little leaven will leaven the whole lump. We can't have even a little leaven in us or leaven the whole lump. You put one rotten apple in a barrel of apples, and pretty soon the whole barrel is rotten. Now there was something else in that they had too. They couldn't have the leaven. They couldn't have the bitter herbs. And the bitter herbs were designed there to put them in mind of their bitter and severe bondage in the land of Egypt, from which God was now about to deliver them. I believe with all my heart that God's about to deliver us and bring us into this place of God that is God. I believe that. That's why I'm beginning to walk in it. This new life. It's been a rough road. It's been a hard road. But my wife will confirm to you, sicknesses and diseases that have been put on me and have been destroyed because I received the living Word of God. Hallelujah. And I'm going to close with this. No, I'm not. I'm not going to lie to you yet. Jesus called Peter out of the boat. Peter said, "If it be thou, Lord, bid me come." And I've always wondered, Peter, what if it hadn't been? If you didn't know it was the Lord, what would you say that if it be you? Because whoever it was might have said, "Come," and Peter jumped out and right into the water and drowned. But nevertheless, we know the story. But he walked on the water to Jesus, and then all of a sudden he looked around and he looked at the circumstances. He looked at the winds and the waves. Now, what changed from the time Jesus said, "Come," until the time he got to Jesus? I don't know how long a time that was, but same circumstances were there. But all of a sudden, that little leaven, that little doubt began to grow. And Peter began to sink. Get rid of all that doubt and fear. And Jesus said to Peter, "O ye of little faith." Well, you know, I am grateful that we got to have a little faith before we can have a lot of faith. But it's time for you and I to put on a lot of faith this morning. Because God's about to ask us to do something that we've never done before. He's asked us to begin to join His army of sons and begin to rule and reign with Him right here, right now. I'm not talking about this morning. I believe some are ruling and reigning now in some areas. But if I can't rule and reign my own life, how am I going to rule and reign this earth? People are talking about, "Oh, when he comes, I'm going to be changed." You're going to be you. And if you got problems with you, you're still going to have problems with you that you're going to have to work out. Somehow, some way. I remember when Pastor Sexton said, "I don't know how it's going to be done, but when people get to heaven, they're still going to have to be circumcised of the heart." Mainly because there's no more body. It's in the grave somewhere. Now, they may get a new body. When and how and where and all this. And you know, Paul said, "I was caught up to the third heavens." Wonder where the second heavens are. And I wonder if there's anything more than third heavens. Is there a fourth heaven? Is there a fifth heaven? What realm of God are you in? What realm of God am I in? I want to be in the realm that God will take me to, the highest place He wants me to be. It doesn't mean that I'm going to be higher than somebody else. Absolutely not. I believe before the foundations of the world, God ordained a place for me to be. And it's taken all these years to get me there. And I still don't think I'm there yet. Let me read then. 1 Corinthians 15:50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. This corruption must put on incorruption. Notice he didn't say, this corruption must allow me to put it on you. He said, this corruption must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. If the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, He will make alive the what body? Mortal body. I knew there was something in there that the reason I wanted to speak that. It's a mortal body. But He's going to make this mortal body alive. There are times when I don't feel very young anymore. There's a lot of people who would say that I'm not very young anymore. Liar. Because in Psalms 103, which I was quoting you a little bit ago, He said, crown thy head with loving kindness and tender mercies, and I'll fill your mouth with good things so that your life is renewed as the eagle. See, I'm going to be renewed. And I'm not going to wait till I die to do it. By the grace of God. By the grace of God. Not that I am sufficient of myself, but my sufficiency's in God. We sang that song. It's all about God. It's all about what God's doing. But God wants to do more for you than you want Him to do for you. God wants to give to you more than you want to receive from Him. God wants to give to me more than I want to receive from Him. And I just find that hard to believe because I want to receive all He has. But you know what? There's some stuff in me that still longs for the things of this flesh. I proved it the other night when I took my kids to a Mexican restaurant. I know it wasn't the Spirit that... In fact, then when I got done with my big old meal, I finished off Janet's, or some of it. I love Mexican food. I failed the other day. I sinned. I bought some candy, a whole pound of it. I don't remember. It was teardrops. It's got the white stuff in it. I haven't had it in years. The least I could have done, at least by a quarter of a pound or maybe a half a pound, but a whole pound. And my wife might have got five of them, maybe. She was counting, I wasn't. I did count them when I left the house. I counted them to see how many was there. I was hoping she'd eat some, but she had one. And she said I was so stingy I hid them in my office. No, I just wanted to get them out of the way so I didn't see them all the time. And then I finished off the four of them and I took care of the last one. See, that leaven of selfishness has got to go. Let all bitterness, Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. You got something against somebody? You don't like the way somebody said it or did it? You're going to talk about them once they leave? You're going to say bad things about them? And I know you're not. And if you do, I know it'll all be in love. Colossians 3:8. But now you yourself are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. You know, and of course, some of those none of us have. But there are some foolish jesting that He tells us to get rid of. And I am sorry I can't think of where that's found. But getting rid of foolish jesting, what does it profit us to sit around and even if it's a clean joke? But I'm sorry to say, I can hear pastors say what I call a bad joke. Now, I do a lot of bad jokes because they're just bad. Not because they're dirty or filthy or anything like that. They're just bad. My son just can't believe me that I can... bad. But You understand what I'm saying? But I hear preachers use what I would call swear words from the pulpit in their jokes. That not ought to be, brother. That really ought not to be. By the grace of God, we've got to get rid of it all. We've got to get rid of it all. I wrote down that song. The more I seek, the more I find. The more I find, the more I love you. You can't love Jesus until you know Jesus, and you'll never know Jesus without getting your face in the Word and eating of that Word and drinking. Get in the room and get in the Spirit and begin to drink of that Spirit. Now, last night, I woke up. This morning, I woke up. It was about 10 minutes after 3 because I woke up and I was praying and my sinuses started to clog. And I remember looking at the clock and it was 11 minutes after, so I know it was around 10 minutes after when I woke up. But I said, no, you don't, Satan. You're not going to spoil it for today's service. I just refuse that. And I began to pray, and it began to break up. And air began to come through. And it just completely broke up. And I looked at the clock. It was 3:29. And the Lord spoke to me, John, this is what I'm going to do for Al's bloodstreams when you go to pray for him. Hallelujah. Now, I'm believing God. I need you to believe with me. I need you to believe that when I go over there and they have asked me to come to see him before we go down to the funeral. So I'm asking God, I'm asking you to believe with me. I love how Larry said it. This is Al's going to walk out of this. I believe in God. I believe in God's ability. It's not my ability. But I'm believing that when I go over there and pray with him today, that the bloodstream will begin to unclog and those stents that they need to put in. Does anybody know that they put in that heart thing they're supposed to put in?
No.
No, they didn't. Good. Because I was going to ask God to just dissolve it. Come on, if God can make bread out of rocks, God can dissolve a heart pumper heart. Oh, I can't think of the name of it. It keeps the heart beating properly. And I'm going to pray that God will cause the heart to beat right. I understand it's not beating just right. God not only healed my heart because I had a bad valve, there's no scars to show it. So, I want you to be praying for us this afternoon. We'll do that right after, I think. Where is Karen? Okay. We'll do that right after service. And then if we've got something else to do, we'll do it. But we want to do what God has called us to do first. Okay?